in this season of Thanksgiving. In our country, in our lifetimes, we would have never thought, let's go back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Would you ever think that, would you have ever thought that, the national holiday of Thanksgiving would ever be taken away from us? We would not thought that we would know it would be possible. But the probability of such was very, very low in my heart and mind. I knew that that would be possible. But now we are experiencing such a change in our nation and such pressure in our nation that there are forces at hand that want to destroy our country because they are godless. They have no thinking towards God whatsoever. Because, see, that's what Thanksgiving, if it's Turkey Day, then it's Turkey Day. And we've even heard the lunacy of being thankful to the turkey. I'm going to get off on rabbits, and so I don't need to do that. But, the Lord has provided for us, and it's His provision. I thank the Lord that He's given us turkeys to eat. And if you don't like turkey, thank the Lord that He's given us ham, and He's taken the moratorium for we Gentiles off of pork, and we can eat ham or otherwise, whatever the custom would be at your household. The Lord is the one that's provided all things, and there's no thankfulness that's due a turkey whatsoever. The Lord has provided that, and we're thankful for that, and we should do well in our stewardship of those things that the Lord has given to us. But there are those that want to destroy our nation. If we have this day of Thanksgiving dedicated to Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving to whom? If you're going to be thankful, it's going to be directed towards someone. And indeed, we're thankful for one another. We're thankful for different aspects of the world and our life and the way things work. We're brought to more thankfulness and less, I trust, more thankfulness and less just taking things for granted with the way things have broken down in our nation in the last year, just in the last year. We're thankful to our Lord for His blessings upon our nation, I trust. Because so many things that were just such well-oiled machines, if you will, in the working of our nation, this whole supply crisis situation, we just took it for granted that things come to the shelf and you've got choices. You've got a multitude of choices, you and I do have to date. And so we're thankful for those things, and the thanksgiving is going to be directed at a person. And that thanksgiving is, of course, to the Lord. That's the reason that those that hate God, that are against God, that don't believe that the Lord is there, they believe in self and humanity and evolution and all of that, they want to tear down and drag down Thanksgiving and no doubt substitute it with something that glorifies man rather than glorifies God. And so Thanksgiving, to be thankful, It's an attribute of a child of God. It should be the attribute of all that dwell upon the earth, but certainly it's to be an attribute of the children of God. Let's read quickly here in Colossians chapter 3 as I consider the text and the focus verse that we want for this thought. It's hard not to bring in everything with this chapter because all things are interconnected. Our thanksgiving, it has a basis from which it comes, and we need to see that. And so let us read here. It won't take us long to read the greater portion of this chapter that we might see the interconnect of this. If ye then be risen with Christ, one of those ifs, are you saved? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So seek that. Pursue that. Don't allow the way of the world and the way of our past and our history to overshadow and say, yeah, but we've got to do this. Everybody knows we've got to know, seek those things that are above. That's what we're called to. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead to ourselves. When Christ, who is our life, is he not? He is our life, isn't he? It's by him. Without him, as Natalie played, we could do nothing. Without him, we would be nothing. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, partaking in that, sharing in that. Verse 5, because of that, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Those are the things from which we've been saved. Take those things and put them to death in your life. Verse 7, in the which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. That's our history. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We're to put away those things. We've been saved from that. Lie not one to another. Lying is to be past. We're not to be liars. Seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, what the old man does, put it off. And in this, we're admonished, we're exhorted, we're commanded. We have it to do. It's ours to do by the provision of the Lord. And have put on the new man, verse number 10, and put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, after Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He is our all in all. And we live because of him. We've been rescued by him. The ransom, the redemption has been paid. The atonement has been made by him for us. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, as the scripture says. Put on, therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. We are the Lord's children, chosen by him, called by him, saved by him. And will be glorified by him, or to be sanctified in him as we walk. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you have somebody you need to forgive? Remember, Christ forgave you if you're saved. Christ has forgiven you. Let us have that same forgiveness. And above all these, that now there's something on top of the heap, above all these, put on charity. Again, that agape love, abounding in the love feast, self-sacrificing love, love with action on it, an abundance of that. That's what that word charity is meaning, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity, love with legs on us, is a bond of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. All different kind of things. Listened here earlier about things that we need to put off in verse number 8. If the peace of God rules in our hearts, those things innate will be put off. But if the peace of God is not ruling in our heart, we'll be fraught with those things in verse number 8. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness and maturity, growing up in the Lord, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Because we have much to be thankful for. We have an innumerable count of things to be thankful for. We are to be a thankful people. Verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you richly. When we think about a richness, it's just really, really got a bunch in there, doesn't it? Richly. I'm thinking about mashed potatoes. Why am I thinking about mashed potatoes? But mashed potatoes with butter and maybe some sour cream, some of those special ingredients that some of the ladies, but you can make mashed potatoes and they can just be mashed potatoes. But they can be rich, can't they? We need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We need to know the word of God. Have application and wisdom about the Word of God. We need to be filled with the Word of God such that with every occasion that we meet, the Word of God stands there and is in us for us to take and apply to that situation. It says, let. We've got to pursue it. We've got to be following after it. We've got to look to obtain it. It's not going to come by osmosis or be dropped in by helicopter or something. We've got to pursue it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that help that we are one to another, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing together in the Lord. Worshiping our Lord. Praising our Lord. Basking in the goodness of the Lord towards us and all the ways that He is. We can't count them. Grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, our conversation, in word or deed, what we speak and what we do in action, that starts with our thinking, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So be obedient. Be like Christ Jesus, always being thankful on the way. Be ye thankful. That's what we're calling is. That is a witness that we have in being thankful. If we are a thankful people, the world will see that. The Lord told us, and it tells us in His Scripture, that by our love one for another, the world will know that we're His disciples. But I think that we can understand, too, there's another aspect among many, that in our thankfulness, the world can know that we're His, too. And other things of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, by which they can know. One good thing that it does for us with thankfulness. What is thankfulness? How can you describe it? Well, how can you know of assuredly what it is? And we know what thankfulness is. I believe that we all know that. Everybody in the house, to the degree of our age and our maturity in Christ, we know what thankfulness is. But one thing that I like to do that helps me is to understand what's the opposite of thankfulness. If we go to the opposite of a thing, we're to be thankful. But we can understand better what thankfulness is to understand also what the opposite of thankfulness is. We have to be careful about that in some respects, because studying and knowing the true will always help us to understand the false. Because the true is what we need to know and what we need to be about. But in some cases, it is good for us to go and see what the opposite is. That we might know, we might guard against ourselves, myself being that way. And then from there, put a focus on what our goal is and what our desire is to understand about thankfulness. And know that if I'm not being like this, I trust I am being thankful. Because usually there's no middle ground in things. We're either one way or another. It's just that way. So the opposite of thankful. As you think about the Scripture in your mind, what is there in the Scripture that would explain to us in a concise way the opposite of thankfulness? Can you think of anything? Well, this is what the Lord brought to mind. I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The Lord made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't He? He promised Abraham that He'd give him the land that he sojourned on. He promised Isaac the same, Jacob the same. It's not looking like that's going to happen when Jacob goes down into Egypt, does it? That the Lord's in control, isn't He? We always need to remember that. But it's not looking good, is it? Going down into Egypt, 70 souls. But the Lord doesn't forget. Israel's down there in Egypt in the land of Goshen. There's a dominion change, we understand historically, and the Egyptians of old and those that knew Joseph, they're ones that are in control now. They don't know Joseph, and it's a totally different thought. They've taken the children of Israel and they put them in bondage. And I find this interesting. I don't know why it stands out to me in the Scriptures. The Lord refers to that the Lord is, that they have been brought to by the Egyptians. The Lord has allowed. That whole thing of their bondage in Egypt is referred to as the iron furnace. You think about an iron furnace. It burns hot. It's sure in what it's accomplishing, and in that fire that, as we know, refining. is at hand, the iron furnace of Egypt. And the Lord remembers. He remembers. He didn't forget. Understand that. He didn't forget. But he remembers what he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have this that the Lord says in his reaction to the children of Israel there in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7, and the Lord said, he's speaking to Moses out there in the wilderness, there at Horeb. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And did you hear that there? I have heard their cry. They're crying. They're crying to the Lord. And the Lord has heard their cry. They want deliverance, don't they? This is hard. This is oppressive. This is taking us and crushing us. Now, the Lord had taken it and used it to cause them to multiply, the strain of it, the burden of it. And that's interesting how the Lord works with oppression and the things of the Lord and the way of the Lord. There's usually a flourishing of the things that are important. That's just the way the Lord works. But anyway, they're oppressed. And so he hears their cry for deliverance by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows, for I know their sorrows, verse 8, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good land and the large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Amorites, rather, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. The cry has come unto me. Deliver us. Help us. We're burdened and we're in bondage. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. I've seen that, the Lord says. He says to Moses, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So this is the cry, and this is the response, right? We know about that. And so the Lord does so, doesn't he? With a mighty hand, a stretched out arm, his power, just incredible, just amazing, beyond amazing how the Lord delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. He brings them out. He provides for them in a miraculous way. They're healthy. They're strong. He gets them across the Red Sea. We see about that. And then he's going to bring them into the land. And so they're there at the land in chapter 13 of Numbers. And you know the account. 10 spies that came back after 40 days and gave a negative report. Nah, it's really, really wonderful there, but the people are too big. We'll be meat for them. Our children will be bread for them. There's just no doing that. But there's Joshua and Caleb that say, listen, the Lord has told us he's going to deliver them unto us. Don't you remember what the Lord did in Egypt? Don't you remember what he did at the Red Sea? Don't you remember what he's done for us and given it to us on Sinai? They forget. They forgot. They didn't believe. But Joshua and Caleb believed. And so they refuse to go in. And they claim it's because of the children. Our children will be devoured if we go and pursue that. So then we come to chapter 14, where the scripture says this. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, murmuring against the leadership. Now understand, it's not impossible for the leadership in our day of the Lord's churches to not be well and right. Understand, this is not saying that the leadership of the Lord will always be perfect. We need to know that. I need to be led by the Lord, subject to the Lord as your pastor, and need to lead the church in a right way as we are led by Christ. Okay? But when there is leadership that's right with the Lord, here we see the first thing that happens is murmuring against the Lord's leadership that he's put in place. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Wait a minute, they had been asking for deliverance, no doubt for decades. And they say, would to God we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. It would have been just better for us to die between here and Horeb. Or from between there at the Red Sea. Would to God we'd have died there. You know what the opposite of thankfulness is? Is murmuring. Murmuring against the Lord in whatever aspect that the Lord is doing. Murmuring. Discontentment. Disgust. That's the opposite of thanksgiving. They wanted delivered, didn't they? Did they have a plan of deliverance? None evident. They hadn't worked it, had they? They hadn't left Goshen. You know what? But the Lord had a plan of deliverance. You know what? It worked, didn't it? It worked very, very well. Not only in deliverance, he had a plan for provision. He had a plan. The Lord had a plan that there would not be someone chasing them all over Sinai and Arabia and all the way into the land of Canaan, didn't he? But it took the Red Sea to get that accomplished, to destroy the army of Egypt. They wanted delivered. They wanted helped. But they didn't want it God's way. But brothers and sisters, let us, all that are here today, let us know and understand that God's way is always the best way. Because he knows the beginning from the end. And so now they're complaining, they're murmuring. They don't want the Lord's deliverance the way he's done it. The way he's done it. The thing is we always need to know. May God help us. These needed to know. The Lord's way of deliverance, the Lord's way of working, is always going to take and put us to the task of faith. We're going to have to trust him. Because that's the only way that the Lord's glorified, is by faith. Faith of his people in him. Well, this looks like this is going to burn down, fall apart, and just be the worst disaster ever. Is this the way that the Lord's leading? Is this the way that the Lord has provisioned and planned for us to go, to be delivered, to be moved on to the next step? Well, it doesn't matter what it looks like. If that's what the Lord has, then he will bring us through it. Because you and I, we don't have the intellectual and the mental aptitude to stay up with God. We don't, do we? Therefore, let us just have faith in him. So here we see the opposite of thanksgiving is murmuring. Would to God we had died in Egypt. Would to God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore, verse 3, hath the Lord brought us into this land. Why has he done this? You ever ask that? Why is it this way? Why is all this going on? To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Listen, they haven't had any bad effects in battle unless they were disobedient. Latter part of verse 3, were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let's make a captain, let's return to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt and what's left there and all the desolation that God left there. And let us just walk back there and say, we're your servants again. It's madness, isn't it? See, when we go our own way, that's what it is. It's madness. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They're grieved, and they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Now fear not, fear them not. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They're disgusted with hearing that from Caleb and Joshua, too. They've told the truth, Caleb and Joshua have, and they want to kill them. Did they not just say, would to God it had been better for us to die in Egypt? Did they not say, would to God it had been better for us to die in the wilderness? Why isn't that they don't think, would to God, if the Lord wills that we die taking the land that He's given us, at least go out obeying? Isn't that something, that resignation to death outside of the blessing and the calling of the Lord? The opposite of thanksgiving is really, really ugly, isn't it? It's ugly. It is ugly. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, Caleb and Joshua. You know what? And they didn't back up on what they told their brethren. They stood there and told it. And the people were going to stone them. Can you imagine that? A million people going to, or a majority of a million people or plus, to look to stone you. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle congregation for all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so here we see the wrath of the Lord kindled against them because of their lack of thanksgiving, their grabbing a hold of discouragement, their self-will and thinking that their way and their plan is better, and their murmuring against the man of God, the men of God, the faithful that want to believe God and follow God, and murmuring against the leadership that God has set amongst them. It's really terrible, isn't it? We know in coming verses here, in verses 13 on through verse 19, that Brother Moses intercedes because the Lord says, step back. And the Lord intercedes for the nation. I mean, Moses intercedes for the nation before the Lord, and the Lord hears him. Moses had it. Moses could have been the nation, but he intercedes. That's the spirit of the Lord in a man. That's following the way and the fruit of the Lord in us. Verse number 20, and the Lord said, I pardon according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And it will be. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and that's a study for another time, and have not hearkened to my voice, they've not listened to what I've said, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he hath had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring to the land wherewith whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And we know by the account of the scriptures that he did. And so here we see, I think, a good summary to understand what the opposite of thankfulness is. May God help us that we not be a murmuring people, a discontented people. In our nation, it's just terrible how we're fraught. We have this, we have that, we have the other, and yet there is no contentment. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation, what we think, what we say, what we do, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. And as we submit to the Lord, His leadership in our life, and we follow along with that, let us be content with what the Lord gives us in every respect. Not only in the things of life, which is a big focus for us, but let our hearts be changed, and let our minds be brought to a greater attention to the spiritual blessings of the Lord. After all, they're the ones that last forever. The spiritual blessings of the Lord. Contentment with what the Lord has done with us and for us in the spiritual realm, in the eternal realm. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, the Lord hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That alone is enough to be eternally thankful for. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Fear. We fear this, and we fear that, and we fear the other. It's just naturally in us to do that, isn't it? I tell you what, if we don't have something to be afraid about, we'll look something up to be afraid about. And Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Our Lord has us. And everything that we would say would be a discouragement or a thing that would be a downer or would be a thing that would not be the way that we would want it. Let us know and understand that that's an opportunity for the power of the Lord to shine in the impossibilities. Lord, this is rough and the way of this looks tough, but I know that you can bring us through it. I know you can help us. That's a thankful heart to the Lord. That's a thankfulness for the tough time that the Lord brings us into to give us an opportunity to grow up some more in Him. And Lord willing, this afternoon we'll speak possibly more about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, if he consent not to the doctrine which is according to godliness, this man is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about with questions, strifes, and words, whereof cometh envy, jealousy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Railings is a mouth that's run wild. Evil surmising, that evil eye. Brother Stephen taught about that evil eye in the book of Matthew. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Being like Jesus and striving to be like Jesus and being content in that and what the Lord has given us in all respects, spiritual and physical, that is the great gain. That is the place of not murmuring, the opposite of thanksgiving, but that's the place of being thankful. Lord, my life is yours. You're doing with me what you will. Help me to look to you and rest in you. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Am I content and thankful, or am I always wanting what I do not have? It's this way. I want it that way. It's this way. I want it that way. This happens. I didn't want that to happen. You know, we have this thing. I am this way. And I ask the Lord to help me with this. And something comes along. I don't want it that way. And I get angry because I'm inconvenienced. I'm inconvenienced in my mind. Inconvenienced within me. And I get angry about it. Listen, the Lord may have been keeping me out of the most terrible disaster, physical disaster, or harm for my family that there ever was by inconveniencing me a little bit. Are our lives in the hands of the Lord, or is that, do we jump in and out of His hand? How is that? How is that? Are if we are the Lord's child, how is that with us? Are we like, you know, 40% on our own and 60% under the hand of the Lord? How is it with us? Our lives are in the Lord's hands. He knows. We can make trouble for ourselves, indeed. But we need to be a thankful. Be ye thankful is our text there in verse number 13 of Colossians 3. We need to be thankful. Our blessings are innumerable, right? Life, health, and some in our church, or many in our church, are experiencing health issues. I'm thankful for the health that we do have, aren't you? Born in this country, freedom, to date, being around the Word of God, so many in the world that have never heard the Word of God. It's just that way, but you and I have. The moving of the Spirit, we're saved, have been exposed to that. We pray that the Spirit is moving upon those that meet with us often, our children and our grandchildren, those that visit with us that are not saved. Well, the blessing of conviction from the Lord. and to have our souls saved by Him. Our blessings are without count. We're in one of the Lord's churches. He's been pleased not only to save us, but to do that for us. Thankful for our parents, or someone to be there to teach us and to care for us when we were young. Thankful for our spouses. Thankful for our children and our grandchildren. Brother David mentioned it. Clarissa was talking about it the other day, as someone that we met. And it is a great, great statement. There are no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate parents.
Right. Right.
There are no illegitimate children. Every child born, every child conceived has a soul from God. We're thankful for the Lord giving us life and giving our own in life. The wonder of how the Lord does that with parents unto children and unto grandchildren. And oh, we pray that they get, if there's any good characteristic in us, that they get those and they don't get the bad characteristics. The blessing of work. The blessing of retiring from work. Some of you are experiencing that. That's a great blessing from the Lord. Daily provision, as we've mentioned, and above and beyond daily provision. We all have more than food and clothing for the day, don't we? We all do. We've got so much to be thankful for. And then the blessing of God Himself. He's given Himself unto us, as we've mentioned many times lately, but it's just, let us not get over that. God the Father, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares. And even if we haven't had a Father here on earth that has done well by us, our Heavenly Father has always done well by us, hasn't He? Our Savior, the Lord Jesus, He loves us so much so that He gave His life for us. He became a man for us, gave His life for us, entered into death that God would, that death was foreign unto God, to His person. He willingly entered into death to abolish it for His people. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who He is very, very sensitive, and yet He puts up and works within us and helps us and calls us, draws us, saves us. Help us, Lord, to remember to be thankful. I want to mention something here, and I know our time is passing, but quickly. Something that I've heard over the years, and I want us just to evaluate. Now, I don't want to be a nitpicker of words, but you know, words do mean something. Words do mean something. And this relationship with our Lord, you know, our Lord has done all that He has done. He's done that for us. Yet He calls us into this time of service where we're saved, having the Spirit of God living within, and we've got this old flesh yet here. And I've preached about that and taught about that over the years. We need to well realize what that is, and yet understand our responsibility, the responsibility we have as His children in this time of being saved, but still being here in this life. Sometimes we have prayed, Lord, help us to be thankful. Let's be careful about what we pray. Our Lord tells us, our Lord Jesus tells us that the Lord is listening to what we say. Help us to be thankful. Well, you know how the Lord might help you and I to be thankful? He might take away that thing that we're thankful to be thankful for. Help us to be thankful. But I think in that statement, we already know that we're to be thankful. How about let's just go ahead and be thankful, rather than asking the Lord to help us to be thankful? You understand what I'm saying? If we already know the blessings of God, why do we go ahead? Why would we ask Him to help us to be thankful? You know, it's like pride and humility. We know that pride is a terrible, terrible problem with us. And what we need to be doing is asking for forgiveness for our pride. And I tell you what, I'm of the opinion, don't ask the Lord to help you to be humble. Because, see, if you're asking the Lord to help you to be humble, you already know, you and I already know we should be. You understand what I'm saying? If we ask the Lord to help us be thankful, it may bring the crunch on us, so we will be thankful. If we already know to be thankful, let us be thankful. Thankful sounds like this. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this one. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Father, for teaching me. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me to be... maybe a better request would be, Lord, help me to see your blessings. Because, see, the Lord is listening to what we say. The Lord is listening to our petition. Let us not be too wise, or let us not be overreaching in what we ask. Let us be sure what we ask for. You hear what I'm saying? Help us to be thankful. How about just in the same breath, thank you, Father, for your goodness towards a sinner like me. We need to beware. A prayer that we probably do not realize what we're asking for. If we know about our lack of thanksgiving, you know what I need to do if I realize? We need to pray that the Lord help us and strengthen us, don't we? Like David. David said, Lord, show me my sins. Well, when we know that we have a lack of thankfulness, how about we repent of that? Father, forgive me for my unthankfulness. Forgive me for my murmuring. And thank you for showing that to me. And thank you for your love for me. And thank you for your instruction of me. If we know our lack of thanksgiving, we need to repent of it and be thankful indeed. Let it be our thanksgiving be from the heart. Do you know that much thanksgiving to the Almighty lies ahead for us? In the book of the Revelation alone, the scripture says in Revelation 4, verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. That's the theme in glory, is thanksgiving unto the Lord. It lies ahead for us, an eternity of it. In Revelation 7, verse number 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us thank the Lord. Thank him with our hearts. Thank him with our lips. Praise him and glorify him for his goodness towards him. In Revelation 11, verse number 17, saying, we give thee thanks. Let that be the words of our mouth. We give thee thanks, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can never get done thanking the Lord, can we? In conclusion, in Hebrews chapter 13, in this thought of be ye thankful, Hebrews chapter 13, here the brother is rapid firing some different points as he closes out the book. In Hebrews 13, verse number 12, the scripture says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set apart the people, with his own blood suffered without the gate. He was crucified outside of Jerusalem. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, we're witnesses of Christ. We identify with Christ. It needed to be for him to go and suffer, bleed and die as he did for our sins to be paid for. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. It says in the same book in chapter 12 that he endured the shame. He endured it. Let us join him there in that. Let us go forth therefore, verse 13, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Our home is in glory with our Lord. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving, most always, in the New Testament, as it's dealt with, is associated with what our Lord has done for us. Just like there in Colossians, as we read in that text verse, and here in Hebrews. Be ye thankful. Don't seek to be thankful. Be thankful. And may the Lord help us indeed. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the only Savior in the world. But there is no other God besides God, and there is no other Savior but the Son. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. He's the Savior that you need. He's the only one that can deliver you from your sin and from this world and from the clutches of depravity and wickedness, from your own self. He's the only one that can do that. You're not saved by accomplishing something. I had a fellow talk to me the other day, and he said, I want to talk to you sometime. I want to know about the steps that I should go through. Thinking about the steps of different plans and things that are in the world to help people with addiction and such as that. That's his point of reference. That's where he is. And I hope that the Lord can help, that we can be a help to him and witness to him. It's not about steps. It's about the sinner seeing their great need, the guilt. It's about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one that can help. It's about receiving him and trusting in him. It's not a plan of man. It's the great work of God through his Son. Repent and believe and trust in him. His death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of your soul.